ॐ नमः भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमः भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमः भगवते वासुदेवाय। श्री राधा कुंज का शिष्य कौन सा है कि नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासम् ततो जयमुदीरये नष्टप्रायेषु भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवत्युत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्टिकी। कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंद गोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः।
रीडिंग ऑफ श्रीमद् भागवतम सेकंड चैप्टर फर्स्ट चैप्टर टेक्स्ट नंबर 5।
तस्माद् भारत सर्वात्मा भगवान ईश्वरो हरिः श्रोतव्यः कीर्तितव्यश्च स्मर्तव्यश्चेच्छताभयम्। तस्माद् भारत सर्वात्मा भगवानीश्वरो हरिः श्रोतव्यः कीर्तितव्यश्च स्मर्तव्यश्चेच्छताभयम्। तस्माद् भारत सर्वात्मा भगवानीश्वरो हरिः श्रोतव्यः कीर्तितव्यश्च स्मर्तव्यश्चेच्छताभयम्। भारत सर्वात्मा भगवानीश्वरो हरिः श्रोतव्यकीर्तितव्यश्च स्मर्तव्यश्चेच्छताभयम्। तस्माद् भारत सर्वात्मा भगवान ईश्वरो हरि तस्माद् भारत सर्वात्मा भगवान ईश्वरो हरि श्रोतव्यकीर्तितव्यश्च स्मर्तव्यश्चेच्छताभयम्। तस्माद् भारत सर्वात्मा ईश्वरो हरिः
तस्मात् फॉर दिस रीजन Bharata, or descendant of Bharata. Sarvatma, the super soul. Bhagavan, the personality of Godhead. Ishwarah, the controller. Harihi, the Lord, who vanquishes all miseries. Shrotavyah, is to be heard. Kirtitavyah, to be glorified. Cha, also. Smartavyah, to be remembered. Cha, and Ichchata, of one who desires. Abhayam, freedom. Francis Rupa by His Divine Grace, Kesi Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. O descendant of King Bharata, one who desires to be free from all miseries must hear about, glorify, and also remember the personality of Godhead, who is the super soul, the controller, and the savior from all miseries. In the previous verse, Sri Shukadeva Goswami has described how the foolish materially attached men are wasting their valuable time in the improvement of the material conditions of life by sleeping, indulging in sex life, developing economic conditions, and maintaining a band of relatives who are to be vanquished in the air of oblivion. Being engaged in all these materialistic activities, the living soul entangles itself in the cycle of the law of spiritual actions. This entails the chain of birth and death of the 8.4 million species of life, the aquatics, the vegetables, reptiles, birds, bees, uncivilized men, and then again the human form, which is the chance for getting out of the cycle of spiritual action. Therefore, if one desires freedom from this vicious circle, then one must cease to act as a karmi or enjoyer of the results of one's own work, good or bad. One should not do anything, either good or bad, on his own account, but must execute everything on behalf of the Supreme Lord, the ultimate proprietor of everything that be. This process of doing work is recommended in the Bhagavad Gita also, wherein that instruction is given for working on the Lord's account, 9.27. Therefore, one should first of all hear about the Lord. When one has perfectly and scrutinizingly heard, one must glorify his acts and deeds, and thus it will become possible to remember constantly the transcendental nature of the Lord. Hearing about and glorifying the Lord are identical with the transcendental nature of the Lord, and by so doing, one will be always in the association of the Lord. This brings freedom from all such a fear. The Lord is the super soul, Paramatma, essence in the hearts of all living beings, and just by the above hearing and glorifying process, the Lord invites the association of all in His creation. This process of hearing about and glorifying the Lord is applicable for everyone, whoever he may be, and it will lead one to the ultimate success in everything in which one may be engaged by Providence. There are many classes of human beings, the fish workers, empiric philosophers, mystic yogis, and ultimately the unalloyed devotees. For all of them, one and the same process is applicable for achieving the desired success. Everyone wants to be free from all kinds of fear, and everyone wants the fullest extent of happiness in life. The perfect process for achieving this here and now is recommended in the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is uttered by such a great authority as Srila Shukadeva Goswami. By hearing about and glorifying the Lord, all a person's activities become molded into spiritual activities, and thus all conceptions of material miseries become completely vanquished. Om Ajnana Tamirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टम् स्थापितम् येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदामह्यम् ददाति सुखान्तिकम् वन्देऽहम् श्रीगुरु श्रीयुतापदकमलम् श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपम् साग्रजातम् सहगण रघुनाथान्वितम् तम् सजीवम् साद्वैतम् सावधूतम् परिजना सहितम् कृष्णचैतन्यदेवम् श्रीराधा कृष्णपादान् सहगण ललिता श्री विशाखान्वितांश्च नमाओं विष्णुपादाय कृष्ण कृष्णाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदांत स्वामिनी नामिने नमस्ते सारस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पश्चात्तरेशकारिणे वांछाकृतकरोभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासवि गौरभक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। ओ डिसेंडेंट ऑफ किंग भरत, वन हू डिजायर्स टू बी फ्री from all miseries must hear about, glorify, and also remember the personality of Godhead, who is the Super Soul, the controller and the savior from all miseries. In the last few verses, the answer to the questions of Parikshit are found. Parikshit Maharaj asked two questions. One is, what's the duty of people in general? And secondly, he asked, what is the duty of a dying man? And Prabhupada says the second question is more important than the first one. Because everyone born in this world is sure to die. Jata sakhi dhruvam rutyur. Dhruvam janna mrutyascha. So, as soon as Shukadeva Goswami heard those two questions, and subsequently, of course, Parikshit asked the question, what is worthy of hearing about? What is worthy of speaking? What is worthy of remembrance? Please tell me. So Shukadeva Goswami was so happy with this question. In that commentary, Prabhupada says, sometimes the questions are themselves glorious. Some people have to be given a medal for asking good questions. Why? Because those questions are all auspicious for all the living entities. So, great souls ask certainly great questions because they contemplate on the welfare of everyone. Just like the beginning of Vishnu Sahasranama, there are some questions asked by Yudhishthira Maharaj. Very brilliant questions. Every one of those questions is like $1 million questions. He is asking, Kimekam Daivatam Lokakim Papekam Parayanam. This question is about the supremacy of the Lord. He is asking, there are so many devatas in this world, which one devata I should worship, who is the supreme amongst all? He is asking. So, then the subject of Krishna and the demigods will be discussed. And then he is asking, Suvantakam Kam Archanta. Suvantakam, whom should I propitiate? Kam Archanta, whom should I worship? By which I can attain ultimate auspiciousness. Not some temporary auspiciousness, ultimate auspiciousness. Who is the person whom should I worship? Like Bhagavan Vishwaro Hari, he says. Hari means one who takes away all inauspiciousness. So whom should I worship? Whom should I do puja for? Kam Archanta Prapna Yurmana Vashubham. Ko Dharma. O dharma sarva dharmanam patap paramo madhaka. Amongst all the dharmas, which dharma is supreme dharma? The answer is Bhagavad dharma. He is supreme dharma. The relationship between Lord and the living being is the ultimate dharma. So he is asking about the ultimate dharma. There is dharma which one should execute, rendering service to the other living entities, including even the service to the animals, service to one's family, service to the nation, service to demigods, service to all those who are contributing in our life. And he's saying, Kodharma Sarvadharmanam Bhavata Paramamaya. Then he's asking, how can all the suffering souls in this world be delivered from the entanglement of cycle of birth and death? So, at that time, Bhishma Pitamaha was lying in the arrow bed. Suddenly he must be feeling excruciating pain because of the arrow poking his back, his body. But these questions were imagine if you have a viral fever and you have 130 degrees, army, body is terribly hot, and you're covering with a blanket and you're sleeping, and somebody comes to ask you some basic questions about life. Of course, if you are a very enthusiastic teacher, if somebody wants to know about, you know, what happens to soul after death, then you may jump up from your bed and you may want to answer. So, it's very unlikely that somebody may be enthusiastic in such a situation to answer a question. But sometimes the questions are so glorious that great souls like Bhishma Pitamaha, we find great enthusiasm in him to answer the question. And what was the answer? The Vishnu Sahasranama Stotram. That's the answer he gave. That was the name for Vishnu he explained. Glorifying Vishnu. So in the same manner, here we find in Bhagavatam, Parikshit asking a question. And immediately Shivada Goswami glorifies his question. He says, your question is so glorious because the answer to this question is going to benefit all the living entities. And then subsequently he gives the answers which we did in some of the previous verses. And here after saying all that, like he said, people in this world have different kinds of things to hear about and talk about. I was hearing in a Prabhupada lecture, Prabhupada says, people, in the morning people open the newspaper and it says that, you know, so-and-so political party has won, and so-and-so country is declaring war against another country, so-and-so big personality has been murdered. And this kind of things, news come. Or so-and-so cinema actor is going to get married to so-and-so actress. And purpose is simply waste of time. Colossal waste of time. Early morning, opening the newspaper and reading such refused remnants which are good for nothing. It's not going to influence your life in any way. So, he also says, Shukadeva Goswami, Shrotavyadini, Rajendra, Nrinam, Santi Sahasrasha, earlier he explained, thousands of subject matters people have in this world to discuss. When I was working in the office, two prominent subject matters people would discuss is, one is about money. How to make more money, how to save more money, how to escape from income tax. This is one very big subject. Everyone discusses. Which is a very frequently discussed subject. Another one is about man-woman business. Enjoyment. Friends enjoyment. These are the two subjects. Commonly discussed everywhere. All the time. This is material world. That's why he says, Shatrubhyadini Rajendra Vrinam Santi Sahasrishva. There are other subjects. What is the cricket score? Who is the politician who won the, you know, election? That kind of other talks. Maybe there also. So these are all subject matters that are of great interest to the conditioned souls who have no information of Atma Tattvam. Ashyatam Atma Tattvam Griheshu Rihamedhinam. They have no knowledge of what life is, what real life is. And they are submerged in this. So, and then he says, subsequently, the subject matter is one thing he condemns, and then subsequently he also condemns the lifestyle of a conditioned soul. He says how a conditioned soul simply lives for sense enjoyment and sleeping, and in the daytime, kudumbabaranenava, he says. So Prabhupada is explaining what is kudumbabaran. He is saying how the living entity's life goes in asking, you know, where is the rice, where is the milk, where is the sabji, you know, where is the kerosene or gas. There is a tension whether we will get gas or not. Some places there is crisis for gas. Sometimes there is a crisis of electricity. Sometimes there is crisis for drinking water supply. Sometimes the living entity, to make the two ends meet, the living entity has to struggle hard, day and night, running here, running there, and keeping these things together. And then the person says, one is thinking, I will buy a dress for my boy, I will get some jewelry for my girl, and I will get some furniture for my family. So the person says, in this way the living entity's mind is absorbed in the immediate needs of his family, which he considers to be his kingdom. And in this way, this day absorbs most of his consciousness. And the living entity cannot think of God, he says. This is not to say one should not attend to the family needs. Sometimes when people hear the word Kutumba Varanenava, is it not our duty to take care of the family? Is one supposed to neglect the home? In those days, one lady used to leave behind her children and come to the temple and attend the programs here. While the children were growing up, and they were becoming mischievous and naughty. So then her spiritual master told her that your first duty is to attend to your children. You have to raise them in Krishna consciousness. Because if you neglect them and you become a devotee, then they will go to hell if you ignore them. You have to be raised and trained in Krishna consciousness. That's the foremost duty of the parents, mother and father. But why Kutumba Parana is condemned in the previous verses in Bhagavatam? Bhaktivinoda Thakura actually explains that although actually he very seriously takes the word Satatam Kirtayan Tomam, and he has elaborately given a commentary to that. Satatam Kirtayan Tomam. What is the meaning of Satatam Kirtayan Tomam? One should think of Krishna 24 hours a day. And then Bhaktivinoda Thakura is asking a question. Is it possible on a practical level for a man living in the society, man or a woman living in society, to think of Krishna 24 hours? There has to be some time given for bathing, eating, procuring the commodities and necessities for life, and for household duties and everything. How can one think of God 24 hours? He's asking the question. And then he's saying, one doesn't pay attention to the basic household needs, then there is no possibility of thinking of Krishna. Even thinking of Krishna will be hampered, he's saying. Imagine, for example, you have not gone to job, you have not earned money, there is no rice at home, there is no milk at home, and the child is crying and there is no money, and then you are chanting Krishna Rama Govinda. Can you do that? So he's asking, no, you cannot do that. You need the basic facilities. And then he's saying, Satatam Kirtayan Tomam means, Bhavo Jiveta Yavar. That's the principle. Whatever is minimum needed to keep the body and soul together, keep material life simple, and then focus completely on remembering Krishna, he explains. So, here he condemns Kutumba Varanenava because sometimes people say that for the sake of Kutumba Varanenava, it's very important. If everyone goes to temple chanting and dancing, then how will the family run? Sometimes people ask the question. Although such people ask such questions, if you take a closer look at their life, they want to spend 99.9% time with their family only. They don't want to give much time to God. People don't want to think of God. People don't want to devote time for God. Those who argue like that. That is why he is condemning in the case of Bhagavatam. Actually, Bhagavatam is not a dry literature like a Mayavadi literature where one renounces the family and goes to Himalayas or something. Bhagavatam talks about true devotees for Grihasthas. Like you find Ambarish Maharaj, you find Yudhishthir Maharaj, you find Parikshit Maharaj himself, you find Devrat. All the people spoken in the pages of Bhagavatam are all family people. And in that pages of Bhagavatam, the Shatavyadi, the Nidraya Hritena Chavayena Chavavaya, Shivacharte Hayarajan, Kutumba Varanenava. It's condemned there. Which goes to show, you want to keep family life simple. That is the purport. Also Prabhupada says about how in this material world if one has to survive, one need not study hard. This is one common statement Prabhupada would make always. Prabhupada says the foolish ass, the grass is everywhere available. He will not eat it. He has to work under a master. And then the master has to order him tons of clothes he puts on his back. He has to go to the riverside, get it back, again go and bring it back. Hundreds of times he walks back and forth. And then he is given a palmful of grass to eat. And that gives him satisfaction. Although it is available everywhere, he cannot accept it, he says. And then Prabhupada gives the example of many animals and birds he gives, like the African elephants. He's saying in Africa there are, in Prabhupada's lecture he says, in Africa there are millions of elephants, he says. I don't know whether there are millions, but there may be many, undoubtedly. And they're eating tons of food every day. But they have no economic problem, they have no financial committee meetings. They don't have to worry about, what about tomorrow. So, no, scientists are supplying them food. Neither are we supplying them food, they are getting it. So, Prabhupada used to say this often, the birds are sitting in trees and very coolly having their nest and eating. They don't go to college or school to become engineer or lawyer or Canada something, Prabhupada saying. They never went to school to get educated, to get a degree. If you ask people, why are you studying? Oh, I have to earn my livelihood. What about the bird in the tree? He never got a degree, how is he getting the food? That is Prabhupada's argument. Although it looks like a very simple argument, it's a very profound argument. So animals and birds, they don't fetch any degree to get their livelihood. They are getting it anyway. But food is arranged for everyone in this creation. And then Prabhupada says, if you don't work, you will not get food. You have to do little work. Those people who don't do any work, they cannot get food. And those who work very hard, they will suffer also. So who is really intelligent? Those who do little work, he says. That's how the material world is created. You do a little endeavor, you can earn your livelihood. And one can be peaceful. And one doesn't have to work very hard. Now, why there is a cutthroat competition in this world amongst the living entities for survival? It looks like even survival we have to do cutthroat competition. Actually, according to the scriptures it says, yes, there is cutthroat competition for the greedy living entities. For those who are greedy. Those are not greedy, those are following the principle of labho di jiveta yavata. What is that word? Samasya, Indriya Prater, labho jiveta yavata. Jivasya jignasa. Not oyasya karmavi. So those who follow the principle, for them, the material world is not a very difficult place. It's not a place of very big cultural competition. Because those who are satisfied people, amongst them there is no big competition. Competition is actually amongst the greedy living entities who want more than what they deserve. Then there is a cutthroat competition. Similarly, the conditions and conditionings, all these things reduce for a soul who is Krishna conscious and who keeps life material life simple. So, to the degree material life is simple, to that degree the miseries also reduce. Miseries reduce, competition reduces, cutthroat competition reduces. The struggle for existence reduces. Like for example, the more we go higher and higher in material life, then the competition also increases. As we go higher. Because there is even a threat for life. You can see, like politicians, there are 20 cars going ahead and 20 cars behind. Why? Well, if somebody has to go in the road, you just need one car. Why they need 40 cars? And sometimes they have politicians who look exactly the same, five of them. Exactly dressed the same. Nobody knows which is the one politician who is the real politician. Nobody knows. Why they do such things? Because if somebody wants to shoot, they will not know whom to shoot. Because they have a life threat. So, the same look of politician is going in five cars. So, the thieves are whoever it is. They don't know whom to murder. So, they ultimately will give up the idea of murdering. That's what they're doing such things. So, life becomes very complex as one wants to expand material life. Life becomes very complex. That is why he is saying that నిద్రయా హృదయ వాయునత వా దివాచార్థే హయారాజన్ పరంభవర్ణేన వా. And then after saying all those things, Deha, Patika, Talatra, Shuatma, Sene, Shasasu, Pesham, Pramatma, Nidana, Pashana, Pina, Pashati. They cannot see the Atma, Pitvam, they cannot see what is body, what is soul, what is the meaning of life. For example, when a child is growing, the parents are prepared for the future of the child. What is the future? The youth. So they send the child to the school. And the child completes the elementary school, then they put the child in the higher secondary school. And because they are preparing for higher studies. Meanwhile in higher secondary school they are preparing for engineering college, isn't it? So the child can be transported from there to the engineering college subsequently. So Prabhupada is asking, okay, you are preparing for the immediate future life, but what about the next life? So next life you have to prepare. If you don't prepare, we don't know where are we going to go. So if you don't prepare, that's the Pashyatam. Atmatattvam, Griheshu, Grihamedinam. You cannot see the next life. You always plan only for material life, ignoring the spiritual life. So here, after saying all this, he's saying, Tasmat, means, for this reason. That's why this verse begins with Tasmat. Bharata Sarvatma. They're calling him as Bharata. Arjuna is addressed as Bharata also. And Yudhishthira Maharaj is addressed as Bharata. Vidura is addressed as Bharata also. You'll find in the text of the Bhagavatam. So, Bharata represents coming in the family of the great king Bharata, and that is a very glorious family. It's like a procession of the family lineage. Each one is coming, glorious family. He is saying, Bharata Sarvatma, Bhagavan Ishwaro Hari. In every body there is an Atma, but Sarvatma means one who is living in everybody, who is Krishna. One who is in the heart of everyone as a soul. So he is all-knowing, omnipresent, omniscient, omnipotent. Bhagavan, Ishwaro, Saihi. One who takes away all the inauspiciousness. And then he is giving the solution here. Shrotavyaha, Kirtitavyascha, Smartavyascha, Kachata Abhayam. So three things he said. Shrotavya means one should hear about him. And Kirtavya means one should glorify him. And Smartavya means one should remember him. So, hearing about God is very important, which is not commonly known to the religious people. The tendency of the religious people is to use God for their own purposes. And this is common in all the religions. Recently we were discussing how the Christians, for example, O Lord, thou art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, give us our daily bread. This prayer is very common. And very surprisingly, many Christians have a notion that this world is a place of enjoyment. God has created this world for our enjoyment. This is their philosophy. Take everything in this world and you enjoy, and God is the Father who wants to see you happy. So take everything and enjoy this world and be happy. And what about the sins that you commit? That you hand over to Jesus. He has come to take away your sins. On Sunday you go to the church, do the sins to Jesus and He takes it. On Monday to Saturday what you do? You enjoy life. And then they say, you are like a child and God is like a father. So He has to maintain you. He has to give you all whatever He wants. He has to protect you. And live in the world and go on like this. This is a Christian idea. And this is how they are propagating the knowledge. So they are preparing people to remain in the jail. At all times. So this philosophy is I-centered, if you see. I want this. So God has to give me this. So for not only God, they will utilize everyone and everything in this world for their own purposes, including God also. Like that. Now Vaishnava philosophy teaches just the opposite. What does Vaishnava philosophy teach? It says, God lives in the spiritual world in His own right. He resides in the spiritual world. God is Bhagavan, Krishna. And in the spiritual world, Krishna has His mother, father, His happy friends and gopas and cows and calves, and Krishna is Bhagavan, full of six opulences. All the talk in Vaishnava philosophy is about Him, not about us. It's about whom? It's about Krishna only. That is why many people don't sit through the lecture when they come to temple. They come to temple, they ring the bell, put a 1 rupee coin and they take darshan. And then they see what is going on. And they hear Krishna, 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 then they go away. They think, you know, if anything is sold, that, you know, you will get some gold, you will get some silver, you will get some wealth, you will get some bhagyam, Krishna bhagyam, Putra bhagyam, this bhagyam, that bhagyam, anything. Then they may say it. That is why, in South India, many of the books that are published, like, you know, when I got one Bhagavad Gita, Gita Saram, there was a Bhagavad Gita, which had all the Bhagavad Gita and support and everything. So that book was very famous. Do you know why it became famous? Because the first half of the book, it talks about the different shlokas that you can recite when you have some problems in life. Vishwapranashanam, there is one shloka for that, from Bhagavad Gita. Similarly, if you are undergoing some mental trauma in your life, then there is a shloka which you have to recite 2500 times, 2500 times you have to recite. You know what is that verse? I did it once when I was in some mental trouble. You know what is that verse? Kashma, kashmalamidam, vishabetam, upasitam, anarijushtam, asargyam, akirtikaram arjuna, madhyam, masmakam, apartana, itat, prajitapadjate, shudram, hriyadarbalyam, chaktotishtaparantam. These two verses you have to recite how many times? 2500 times. Then your misery will be gone. So like that they have given solution, for all your problems. Similarly, if somebody has a stomach disorder, they have given those three verses of, you know, food in the mode of goodness, in a passion and ignorance. Recite those verses, some of it will enter into your system and change your style of eating. Then, you know, you will become purified. So like this, if somebody has committed a mistake or blunder or something, there are some verses for that. So, in this way, many people would buy the Bhagavad Gita because, you know, you recite something many times and then you get some benefit from it immediately. So this is how people used to buy that book. So when in Vaishnava philosophy, if you see, it is just the opposite of Christian philosophy. Why? Because it talks about God is in the spiritual world, and it is discussion about how wonderful is Krishna, how beautiful is Krishna, how wonderful are his associates, how great are his activities, how glorious he is, you know. So living entities mostly go to sleep when they hear that. They think, you know, why don't you say something about me? Why don't you say something to benefit me? So I and me-centered approach is called a religion. Krishna-centered approach is called spirituality. What's the difference between religion and spirituality? Clear cut difference. In spirituality we talk about Krishna. Now we have two choices in our life. One is, talk about I and me and mine, and go to the spiritual world, keep Krishna and bring him to the material world. Krishna, give me this, give me that. Pull God to the material world. That is one thing we can do. Prabhupada is saying about Devakin versus Dev. You know, Prabhupada says, they wanted God to appear in their family in the material world. Prabhupada says, it's better for us to do the opposite. You go to the spiritual world and be with God there. Then there will be no misery for you. Because Devakin was, they wanted Krishna here, they have to undergo so much misery, the first thing. If they wanted to go back there is no misery. Isn't it? So, religiosity means pull God to the material world to satisfy our own whims and fancies. That is religiosity. Spirituality means we elevate our mind and consciousness to spiritual world to be with God eternally and serve Him there. That is the difference. So, people, here he says, Shrotavyaha, worthy of hearing. Now, whose katha is worthy of hearing? Only Krishna's katha, no one else. Sometimes people write a very bulky volume, autobiography or biography of some cinema actor or some politician. Sometimes a person writes an autobiography and nobody buys his book. So anyone who comes to meet him, he gives them free books. Like our boys went to collect some donations. One big industrialist wrote a book on his own glories. How from my childhood up to my current situation, how I, you know, grew up as a big millionaire in my life. He put his photograph on the cover page and wrote a book with many, many photos inside. Very, very bulky book. Something like 1,500 pages. All bluff. And then he wanted to sell it in the market. Nobody is buying it. So Anybody who goes to him for anything, he will give them. And he says, if you want more copies, I'll give you to distribute. So no one to buy. You know? So, such kind of glories are not spoken by Shvatavya here. Shvatavya means whose glory? Krishna's glory. You know, if you see the multiple literature available in the market, in the shops, you know, most of the cinema magazines, why people are eager to buy them? Sometimes they give a title, that, you know, so-and-so cinema actress is considering to marry, you know, so-and-so actor. So, you take a photograph and write some hot news, some most recent news, and, you know, there are some foolish creatures who have to play and read. But they have to know who is going to marry whom, as if it's a very important thing. Actually, where is this tendency coming from to know which actress is going to marry which actor? Or the attraction of one cinema actor to actress and other things. It comes from the original romance of Radha and Krishna. Between Radha and Krishna, there are lots of things that go on. For example, the, you know, Krishna and coward boys are sitting together and they are discussing. And then a bird, Radharani's bird, comes and sits in the tree and hears all the news. And then goes to Radharani and the gopis and tells, this is what Krishna was telling his friends. She tells everything. Similarly, then Krishna's bird goes to Krishna's parrot, you know. It goes to the place where the gopis and Radharani are preparing, planning. And then it gets news from there and comes and tells Krishna. Sometimes they both meet also. Yeah, those two birds, they meet and they discuss also. Sometimes they have a competition, who is great, Radharani is great or Krishna is great. Who are those two birds? Anybody knows the name? Shuka and Sari, yeah. Shuka and Sari, Sari is whose bird? Radharani's bird is Sari and Shuka is Radharani's bird. So they both are competing and, you know, glorifying Radha and Krishna, who is greater, So, that one should be very eager to hear, You should be enthusiastic to hear. Because it's worthy of hearing, Shrotavya. Why? By hearing it, keep on hearing it, relishing it, and when we die, we'll be back in the spiritual world. Continue to hear the glories there, We can witness what we are hearing in this material world. Although we are in the material world, we are hearing the spiritual world glories. When we are transported there, we can get to see them. Twice, twice, But what will happen if comes, you know, some cinema actor, some cinema actress they wanted to marry, is coming in the cinema magazine, they're reading it, who is going to benefit? Both of them will become oldies, They will become 80, 90, all the teeth will be fallen, eyes will be inside the socket, hair will be white, they'll be carrying a stick, and then where is their beauty gone? Where is their glory gone? So, to hear the glories of a mundane personality is very common amongst 99% of the population in the material world. Because they do not know where is this tendency for hearing comes from. Tendency to hear about the glories, eagerness to hear about the glories of someone actually comes because it is inherently there in the living entity. To hear the glories of Krishna, Radha and Krishna, hear about the glories. So, in Bhagavatam it is said, hearing is like a very sharp sword that can cut our material bondage into pieces. Yatanujyasina yukta karma granti nidandanam chindanti kovidastasya konupariyat katharathim. He's asking, who is there in this world who does not have any katharathi? Now he's asking. Rati means great eagerness or interest. Katharathi means, who is there in this world who doesn't have a great taste to hear about Krishna? He's saying, why? Because by hearing about Krishna, it acts like a sharp sword and cutting material bondage to pieces. One can completely become free from the worldly entanglements. When we say Katharadim, it also can include the hearing of the holy name, sound vibration. A practical example is Ajamila. Because Ajamila heard the glories of the holy name from the lips of Vishnu Dutta. And within a very short time, all his material bondage was cut to pieces. Immediately he went to Haridwar, 12 years he practiced, and then Vaikuntha airplane came and took him to the spiritual world. You can see that, a practical example, how hearing awakens a person. Hearing the spiritual message awakens a person. Just like Sometimes a madman is wandering here and there, although he belongs to a millionaire's family. He doesn't know his original glory. But when a doctor administers some medicine and brings him back, he wakes up and he gets connected to his father. In the same way, all the living entities in this world, Prabhupada says, they are like madmen, haunted by ghosts, attracted to cricket, attracted to politics, attracted to cinema, attracted to all kinds of nefarious activities like eating beef, eating flesh, drinking wine, crazy life, it's a mad life. So fortunately, we came across Prabhupada's book and the purpose, we are awakened. So the living entity by hearing this message can get awakened. So Prabhupada used to say, whenever devotees would go for distributing books, some devotees would say, Prabhupada, they are saying that we are forcing them to buy the books. There is a complaint from the airport. People, especially the people in the educated circle, they want you to behave decently. According to them, decency means don't force anyone to do anything. Leave everyone freely. So, in America, the culture is free culture, which means, don't force anyone to do anything. Let people do what their heart feels. So, that is their understanding. So, somebody is telling Prabhupada, they are saying that don't force these books. If they don't want, why are you going and asking them? This Prabhu in San Jose, Vaisheshika Prabhu, very famous distributor. He was telling me, earlier they were distributing books in airports, and many people took a court case, and then now they have stopped them to distribute books in many of the airports. Still, some temples are having such a zeal for book distribution. They said, we will fight in our local court. So they went to the local court and they won the case in some cases. But although they have won the case for distributing books in the airport, what rules they have made? You can stand like a statue in one place and you can show the books like this. You should not extend your hand. And please buy, you should not say that. But you can stand like this. You can keep the books in your hand, you can stand like this. Anybody sees, if they take the book from your hand, then you can talk to them. That kind of rule they have made. Because people say, if you persuade, it becomes quiet in them. So you should not persuade. You can only stand. So, he was telling, I also stand like this, but if somebody seems to be interested, I'll extend my hand. So, I'm not a statue, He was telling. So, they have made such kind of... So, Prabhupada said, Prabhupada was telling that if somebody is dying of a disease, and you are telling him, sir, please take the medicine. If you eat this medicine, you'll be saved now. Is it forcing? And Prabhupada said, it's good to force him, otherwise he will die. Similarly, it is good to save a soul who is gliding into hell. So, another Prabhupada said, inject Krishna consciousness into the ears of the conditioned souls and wake them up, Prabhupada said. Inject. How to inject by the love of the Harinam in the street? Let the holy sound vibration roar in the streets and let the people turn to the devotees and hear the holy name, enter their ears, enter their hearts, cleanse their heart. And lift them up to their real consciousness. Why? We always find whatever sound vibration we hear that molds our life subsequently. For example, I got to see this with my own eyes when I was studying in IIT. There are many boys who used to hear rock music in their rooms. And they were aiming at America. And gradually I saw from the first year, second or third year if you see, gradually their personality changes. You find them wearing shorts, you find them wearing particular t-shirts, you see their hairstyles changing, you see their accent changing, the way they speak, you see their intake of, books and movies which they do, everything from America, and you find their words, the vulgar words they use, amongst conversing with each other. I saw, although they were born Indians, they became like, almost like semi-Americans. The whole whose personality completely changes because they are absorbing themselves in such consciousness. So because we absorb ourselves in, our personality becomes molded, very similar to that. But we used to see the pujaris who are serving in Narayan temples, or the Lord Ram's temple, the Hanuman temple. Quite often we used to see the pujari also becomes very beautiful. If you see, there is a kind of spiritual tejas on the face of one who is worshipping the Lord constantly. And one who is studying transcendental literature, one who is worshipping the Lord, one who is constantly contemplating on the spiritual pastimes of the Lord, gradually becomes transcendental to the material existence. And even from an external point of view, even materialistic people appreciate. And they feel that spiritual tejas in a person. On the other hand, those people who, you know, who watch, you know, horror movies, exorcist and such movies like that, and people who are indulging in, as I told you, they also become like that. In those days, in our British magazine, there is an article, one Rolinandan Prabhu used to write. So he showed a man is carrying a dog, you know, with a leash. And the dog is like the dog which is put in the advertisement, you know, and hanging mouth, what do you call it? Hutch, yeah. So, bulldog, isn't it? Yeah. So the dog is like this, and then they have put a man who is carrying, and the man's face is also like that. He has a hanging face, nose is big, and, you know, face is hanging. I was wondering why they have put, so below that they had put, Yanyam Papit Maran Bhavam, Kajatyam Se Kalevaram. So because he is constantly, you know, mixing with the dog, or sitting on the lap, and feeding the dog. The dog's emotions are affecting him, and his face is also becoming like a dog. So, Jaisasang, Vaisasang, you say, no? Association makes a big difference. So, what we hear is very important. When Krishna Swarupu came here, he was telling, Atyahara, Prayasascha. When he was talking about that, he said, Atyahara not only means overeating, but also collecting too much information which is not directly Krishna conscious. So a very subtle point, very nice point you made. Now, we are talking about Shrotavya here, hearing. All of us have only limited time in our day. And we have limited time in the week. And our lifespan is very short. Like once I collected about 400 to 500 books. And then I realized, will I get time to complete all the 500 books before I die? You know, the question comes, because you know, not so much time. Even if you take 10 days sometimes, only one book to complete, that book. So, then we have to think about what is the substance that is worthy of into my ears. What is the substance that I should hear? For example, we all have time, we can read management books, we can read scientific books, we can read books which are also semi-special books that are coming in the market. Because we want to reach out to the people in the society, sometimes we want to read books on mind, we want to read books on psychology, we want to read books on counseling, we want to learn, read books on skills, how to teach the subject to other people, we want to learn, read books on public speaking, so that we can impressively present to people. So there are so many books coming, often devotees get confused, whether this sound vibration coming from these books is worthy of hearing. So it's certainly a very important question for devotees. Because many of the karmic books, they give lot of useless information along with some very valuable information. Mr. Chanakya says, Vishadati Amritam Grahyam Amedyadati Kanchanam. He says, Vishadati Amritam Grahyam means the materialistic book may have lot of wish, but in that visha, there is also some gold coins lying. So you have to take only the gold coins. Strishu Dushkuladapi Vichadapi Uttamam Jnanam. Even from a lowly person, you can, if he is saying something good, you can take. Uttamam Jnanam you can take, he says. So, there are two problems in this. What are the two problems? One is, one should have the talent of extracting only the good and leaving the bad. Often, because we are not very special advanced, we can get bewildered. While going for gold, along with gold, we may pick up some stool also. Along with that, the hand may be sinking. Similarly, along with taking some valuable message from those books, we may also take some garbage which may take and it may disturb our consciousness. So that risk is there. That is one thing. And the second problem is, these books are voluminous. For example, if the Hermes book is say about 300 pages, and the value of the thing is only 20 pages. So a lot of time goes in reading the voluminous book and extracting 20 page information, just see. So it's a very tough job. So in ISKCON, sometimes ISKCON leaders like Anupam Prabhu and others, they are coming up with courses like, you know, leadership courses and communication courses and all. Why? Because otherwise ISKCON devotees tend to go to other books and read themselves and get it. So everyone gets into these two problems. Wasting a lot of time reading those books, and in the name of getting something good, they may get something bad also. It's likely, you know, they may get disturbed. So they are offering courses after extracting them. So we have to think how I am spending my time. What is the sound vibration I am hearing? Sound vibration, what is entering my ears? How pure it is? Because if pure message goes in, the pure message will come out. If impure message goes in, then impure message will come out. My Prabhupada is saying, Krishna, the Supreme Lord, He is so cheerful and so happy. He is saying, look at Bhagavad Gita cover. He says, Krishna is smiling. Although He is in the middle of the battlefield of Kurukshetra. But who is morose? Arjuna is morose. Because He is living entity, Prabhupada says. So living entity is morose and the Lord is cheerful. And not only the Lord is cheerful in the battlefield, Prabhupada is saying, go and see Krishna dancing on Kaliya. There also He is smiling. He is not afraid of the snake. He is jumping on the hoods of Kaliya, jumping from one hood to another hood, performing beautiful Bharatanatyam. In fact, the demigods are so pleased, they are showering flowers from the sky. The Agapatis are worshipping Him. And all the Vajvasis are also happy seeing Krishna's beautiful dance. So, Krishna is smiling even on the top of snake. Krishna is smiling in the battlefield. Just as He is smiling in rasa dance when He is dancing with the gopis. He's always cheerful and smiling. Why? Because He is God. And what is the hope of the living entity to be cheerful like Krishna? To associate with Him. And how do we associate? Shrotavya. For hearing from Him. Now, just as hearing about Krishna and His pastimes can make us cheerful, hearing mundane subject matter will also pollute us and make us more morose. And it is very dangerous. One can become skeptical. You want to do scientific preaching. But in the name of scientific preaching, you read many materialistic people's books. And our mind can become dominated by the material personalities. Then we may start glorifying and propitiating material heroes as the heroes of our life. Who should be our hero of our life? Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the six Goswamis, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Bhaktivinoda Saraswati, Srila Prabhupada, current and previous Acharyas, Vaishnavas, they should be our heroes of our life. When will we make them heroes of our life? When we hear from them. Whomever we hear from, that person becomes our hero. I am not just talking about just hearing. We have to hear and become influenced by that person. That person becomes our hero. And we want to emulate that person's model. Whomever we hear from. That is why many times those who are very wise preachers, in that training, they don't allow people to hear anything and everything. That's the main reason. Because we become what we hear. The personality becomes molded by what we hear. So, we become influenced just as we find in the society, fads and fashions that are floated in society are all said by some cinema heroes, isn't it? Cricket heroes, cinema heroes. They set the trends and then everyone imitates whatever they do. Why they want, you know, some cricketer like Sachin to show some mobile or some soap and say, buy this. Because everyone knows if he shows something, people will buy. Isn't it? That's how the gullible masks are cheated in the society. But as devotees, Shahadapyamrutam Grahyam, devotees should be very careful. Whenever one gives hearing, we should never give the humble, patient and honest hearing to Mayavadis or to people who are materialistic. by giving such a hearing, then we will get sold out to them. So, like I heard that there are even many devotees worldwide who read this Harry Potter novel thing. What Harry Potter has got to do with the devotees' lives? You know, somebody was telling me yesterday, Prabhuji Brahmachari is not the various text. We all may not read all these things. The congregation, you know, this is not very strict. Sometimes we have to read the worldly books also, you know, because they are living in the world. Sometimes they do read novels, they go to library and everything. So I was telling that person that in material books also there are two categories. Those books, like novels you find, are bulky novels, bulky novels nowadays, which people take in aeroplane when they go to read, they don't teach you any valuable lessons. If you see most of the novels, they're simply cheating the public. So all of them, none of them talk about your future life. They all talk about your current life. They keep you submerged in illusion. That's all. Imaginative illusion. Just like we have sci-fi books. Scientific fiction, but what did they give us? It's simply an imagination. Just like Haji Wells is writing about thinking machine. It's just an imagination. Jules Verne is writing about, going to other planet. So there are many books like this. So these books simply concoct something which doesn't exist. Like if you go into plane, they show you movies of some concocted characters, peculiar characters, detective movies. They simply waste our time. One thing is they're waste of time. Another thing is we're taking things into our system which is very dangerous for us. Like in my school days, I used to read phantom, comics a lot. Very fond of, I was waiting for the next book, when will the next phantom comics come? And then what a period of time became interested in the ghost movies, the exorcist and everything. They put a speaker below your seat. You look at sound. Some people vomit blood also in that movies. Like that. And then you come home, you're sleeping in the night, you suddenly see Satan in the window. Laughing in the window. Sometimes the door. Or you'll be lying down, you suddenly hear a song. Somebody is hitting the door. And then your mind is saying, open the door, don't open the door. If you don't open the door, I'll murder you, he says. And then how will he murder you without opening the door? So if you see, people imagine, it just makes a person crazy, mad. And also, it goes into your system very deeply. If all of you think for a moment, and those books which we read before, detective novels and such kind of things, they have entered our system. It is very difficult to take it out. Sometimes it psychologically affects us a lot. We tend to become negative. We tend to become extremely fearful. Fearful for nothing. We have to fear God. People are not fearing God, they are fearing something else. How foolish it is. God is saying, sister, if you do this, if you commit this sin, you will go to hell. So they are not fearing. They are fearing a ghost, fearing so many skeleton and everything else. Crazily. So, what audience are they giving? Novels. So I was telling, there are two types of novels. One is the type of novel what I am telling you now. It's useless. It's for nothing. It's a colossal waste of time. And there are other books which may benefit. There's a likelihood. There are some books like, there are some movies or there are some books which they say it can help the children to, be respectful to parents, Or there are some novels which help a person become more responsible in life. There are some management books which actually make a person more responsible, more wiser in life. That kind of books actually are oriented towards building our personality. Even in karmic books, one should be very choosy. One cannot just, which goes to show that you cannot lend your ear to anybody and everybody. We cannot do that. If one is doing that, he is a fool. He doesn't know. Our time is so precious and human form of life is so rare. First of all, we have to give hearing. And what hearing? We have to be very choosy of the input. Just like when you are going in the train, you find there are so many stations which come change crops there. So there is water kept in, brass barrels. Sometimes you enter, water is coming, it's very dim in color. Do we drink it? We know it is contaminating, it's dangerous. And we get some viral fever or something. We don't drink it. We only drink the sterile water. So we are very choosy about the water we drink and the food we eat. You know, you don't buy some food in the market, and eat it. Hmm? Same way, what we take into the ears is very important. This is what you are hearing, God said. Then, actually, those people who have a scientific bent of mind, their intellect has the jnana mishra impurity. Those people who have a tendency to austerity, they have a yoga mishra impurity. Like that. Similarly, there are people who have a tendency to do some service, some activity. They are activity oriented people, they have karma mishra impurity. So, in order to purify that impurity, in Bhagavatam itself there are sections. Like, you know, Pranjana, Upakhyan is given for karma kanda mentality. For those who have karma kanda mentality, like Jasina Parishad. If somebody has an jnana mishra impurity, there are sections of Bhagavatam talk about Sankhya. Narada is giving some knowledge to the sons of Vaksha Prajapati. One can purify the jnana mishra impurity. One doesn't have to go for any other literature. But sometimes, a person having jnana mishra impurity likes to read philosophical books or scientific books other than what is prescribed for us. One has to be very choosy and careful. Not to give a lending ear for a lot of volumes of information which will not awaken our love for Krishna. Here comes another important point. Sometimes we want new information that no one knows. And it is available. Like for example, Mahabharata if you read, Ramayana if you read, the book is so voluminous and there are stories and there are sub-stories. Inside there are stories going. It's like a river dividing into several tributaries and goes. And the subtleties of Brahma and Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, everything is explained in very, very big detail. And there are stories told for different people in different contexts. Sometimes you pull out one story from there and tell in the Bhagavatam class, sometimes it's dangerous. People may catch you. And what do you say? Prabhu, Papa says this, Mahabharata says that and everything. Unless we are very clear about the purpose of those stories when we take. Those who are very senior will be able to expertly do that. If everyone wants to know something new, hear something new, it's likely that we may get into such kind of talks. So, what we are giving into the ears, what we are lending our ears for is very important. And after we give right hearing about Lord Hari, as he says, Krishna's name, Krishna's activities, Krishna's pastimes, and as a friend with Krishna in his book, then this also should be heard with great Shraddha, great faith. Because if it is not heard with great faith, it won't produce the great results of awakening Krishna praying. That is why, for example, if somebody has a jnana mishra or a yoga mishra tendency, if you only tell him simple bhakti, he just chants Krishna, chants and chants his holy name. That is not enough. That's why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in the classes he gave Harinam Sankirtan. For the masters he gave Harinam Sankirtan. For the classes he gave philosophy. Why? He did not administer Harinam Sankirtan for both directly. So different people need different food. Food means food for the ears. Masters, if you Harinam Sankirtan, they will chant and dance and they will become purified and they will get bhakti and go back to Godhead. Easily. But for the classes, they have a impure intellect. Avishuddha buddhayaha, as Bhagavatam says, isn't it? What is that verse? Arushya kachrena, paramparamsya. No, before that. Eanya aravindakshya namukramaninaha. Jayastha bhava abhishuddha buddheha, impure intelligence. That has to be purified. So how we can purify? By discussing philosophy, discussing logic, by discussing reason, purifying the intellect. Then bhakti is given. After that. So, you have to study the scriptures very scrutinizingly and hear. See, the concept of bhakti is very simple. Krishna and the gopis are dancing in rasa dance. And we have to ask ourselves to be servant of the gopis and then assist Radha and Krishna and then Nityarila. That's the essence of our philosophy. But if Shukadeva Goswami is speaking in the first canto, whoever reads it, they would faint. They don't have the ability to digest the kind of deep understanding of philosophy. So what he does? First canto, second canto, third canto, he is building up. Sarga, Visarga, Sthana, Poshana, Uti, Ishanukta, Manmantra, Nirodha. Bhakti, like that he goes on. And finally, Ashray, Tattva. Krishna is explained in the 10th canto. Gradually after having built up. Because these 9 cantos, they purify all our wrong tendencies. so that it makes us eligible to hear about Krishna and Bhakti Yoga directly in the temple when we go. Otherwise, one cannot understand. Sometimes people hear the pastimes of Agasur, Bakasur and all that. It looks like some Mickey Mouse story. Mickey Mouse and Walt Disney's camp. One is thinking like that. If one is hearing without Shraddha, oh, very nice story. It's very easy to remember the stories and tell the stories. Many parents who are devotees, they may also read the stories and tell their children. The question is, how much we internalize these pastimes in our heart? And how much it become a part of it? So Krishna is drinking the forest fire. Isn't it? And he is telling all the friends, all of you, close your eyes. Now I will devote, he didn't say I will devote the forest fire. The forest fire will be gone if you close your eyes. I will make some arrangement, he says. And all the covered fires close their eyes. And Krishna brings all the fire, forest fire in no time. And then they open their eyes and they see there is no more forest fire. Now, how many of us can close our eyes when we see a fire? If Krishna says, I will take care of it, you don't worry. You will be closing one eye and one eye will be saying, what's happening? Isn't it? Whether it is really, what is going to happen? Otherwise, life should not devour me. Isn't it? So, the questions given in 10 chances, they are very advanced. To be a part of it. To become a part of Krishna's devotees. Actually, we have to become a part of Krishna's devotees in the Vraja. When you are hearing those pastimes. So, and Krishna, because Krishna, the ultimate truth, he is having a two-headed form and looks like a simple covered boy. So much so that even Brahma was bewildered. That is why Shukadeva Goswami is building up in all these cantos, gradually. So he says, Shrotavya, Ketita Jascha. Then after hearing, one gets awakened. Just like Pachinaprasad became awakened by hearing Narada. Just like the 10,000 Hariyashwas, 10,000 Shavalashwas, they became awakened by hearing Narada Muni, the sons of Prajapati, became awakened to the realization that the material world is no place for a gentleman. They renounce the material world. Like Rukmini heard from Narada about Krishna, and she got awakened to love for Krishna. Only by hearing, attentive hearing, one gets woken up. But one should give a submissive oral deception, people used to say. That submissive oral deception is important, because if one is not hearing submissively, then it doesn't sink to the heart. It goes in one ear and comes out another ear. It doesn't sink in the heart, nor does it produce any transformation of heart or behavior. So, the transformation happens, as Prabhupada explains. He says, I'm in America, I spoke on Bhagavatam, and Prabhupada says, Shrotavya, I heard it. What was the result? Kirtan. Now the American boys and girls are complete, they are doing Kirtan now, they are preaching, Prabhupada is saying. And then he is saying, because of preaching, they have developed fondness for Krishna. Now they are doing Shrotavya, they are chanting Krishna's name, they are dancing in Harinam, and they have completely forgotten the material world. This is the perfection of their life, he is saying. All three are happening, Shrotavya, Kirtan, and Shrotavya. All three are happening. And one is hearing attentively and submissively. Then other things follow. Throughout Bhagavatam, there is glorification of two things, association of devotees and hearing in association of devotees. Both these things are very much glorified in many places. You will find Prithu Maharaj, for example, asking the Lord for a boon. He is saying, please give me millions of years to hear your katha. Millions of tongues to speak, somewhat similar to what Rupa Goswami is saying about the holy name. Prithu Maharaj is asking, Sachetas are saying, my dear Lord, please keep us in the association of your devotees. We don't want anything. There is a verse by Brahma where he says, who is there in this world who, even after getting the association of devotees, does not take advantage of hearing in association and advancing in Krishna consciousness, rather leaves the association like an animal, he says. That's one verse. He's like an animal, one goes away from association of devotees and does not pay heed to the nectarian katha of the Lord in the company of devotees. So there are many verses like that. But devotees express a desire to hear the Lord's glory, and that alone satisfies them. It's like Uddhava, when he comes to Vrindavan, the gopis are requesting him to speak Krishna's pastimes. And when he begins to speak, they start remembering fondly all Krishna's childhood pastimes and everything. Uddhava starts narrating. Almost 3-4 months he stays there and he narrates. And the gopis are completely absorbed in Krishna's content. They feel as if Krishna is present personally. There's no difference. Prabhupada says, Arjuna hearing Bhagavad Gita from Krishna and we hearing Bhagavad Gita, there is no difference. Just if the hearer is in a submissive state of consciousness, we can hear the sound vibration of Krishna speaking to us. He's telling me, like, you know, when I read these 2 verses, it had a profound effect on me. Eme matamidam nityam anuteshtanti manabhaha shraddhavanto anasuyanto mucchante teti karma vihi etvadabhyasuyanto anuteshtanti me matam sarvajnana vimudham stan vidyanashtana ketasaha. These 2 verses are very powerful. In one verse he's saying, if you follow my instructions, you will become glorious, happy in life. If you fail to follow my instructions and act whimsically, you will become Krishna unconscious. Krishna is saying that. So, very powerful. Like that, Krishna gives many instructions in Bhagavad Gita. And he's giving promises, he's giving instructions, he's saying, do this, don't do this. So one is reading with submissiveness and sincerity. One can see, my God, this God is speaking to me. It's for me, for my sake he is speaking. That kind of consciousness one can have when one is hearing the spiritual sound vibration. Prabhupada recorded sound vibration in writing. Some of the lectures of Prabhupada are available in cassette form. So, as he told, this is the solution for the 2 questions of Parikshit. Just hear about Lord Hari and glorify him and remember him. Actually, when you hear very nicely, then there is a tendency to also speak about it, as we said earlier also. But what goes in, if the good goes in, then good comes out also. We will share with others what we read, what we hear, what we have appreciated, what has entered our heart. As I was telling, my most vital, essential lesson today is this. A devotee should be extremely cautious in intake of what goes into the ears. Although we may have idle curiosity to read many other literature, like, you know, some people are reading literature like, you know, books by Goswamis. There are books by other Vaishnavas, previous, like Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, Balaji Vidyabhushan. And there are also ISKCON devotees who are taking those books and writing English commentaries also. They are available. But if we are, unless we are rooted in the purports very nicely, reading those literatures can be disturbing to us, can be bewildering to us. So one has to not just be always looking for some new arrival. One has to actually master purports. Prabhupada sometimes said, you cram my purports, Prabhupada said. You just cram my purports and repeat it. I try doing that many times. I hear the Bhagavatam lectures from the folio and make notes and just repeat it. Very simple. You know, all we need to do is speak what I said. Speak as I have spoken. Do as I have done. Do as I did and speak as I have spoken. So our style of functioning in the ISKCON society should be learned from the Acharya himself. You can see Prabhupada, how he speaks. And the message is loud and clear. No ambiguity. At the end of the class, you don't have a doubt, you know. Prabhupada says so many things, I don't know what is the essence. Or Prabhupada says so many things. No! There is one nail he takes and hits again and again. One point only. So in the same manner, today's message is very simple. Shodhave means, take a second look at what is going in. What cassettes are we hearing? What are we reading? Whether is it a pure spiritual message that's going in? Am I digesting it? Am I relishing it? Am I speaking it? Am I remembering it? Because when we read Krishna's pastimes, for example, they go into our mind. They dominate our mind, which is very good. Prabhupada once said, if you read Krishna book, you'll get Krishna dreams. It's always very good ones. If you read Krishna book, you'll get Krishna dreams. It is very good. Instead of getting some skeleton dreams and, you know, instead of getting some phantom dreams, And children should not be spoiled. Sometimes parents think, you know, children should not be deprived of, you know, the material books and all. All the time Krishna discusses too much. You know, you should become brahmachari or something, you know. So we will have other things also. So sometimes they give other things, but what happens? Children, they absorb those things and it goes into the system. Very difficult to get it out. Very difficult to get it out. So fortunately we have so much literature Prabhupada has given us, and by reading which we can enter into the spiritual world, even while being in the material world, we can enter into the spiritual consciousness. Shri Prabhupada ki, and Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Bhaktavinda ki.